Let us pray. God be in our heads and in our understanding. God be in our hearts and in our thinking. I speak to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Once again, I'm glad to be here with you, the family of St. Michael's and All Angels. But I ask this morning to bear with me because I'm having the cold, the chills. And so if you hear me kind of make a little cough or anything, forgive me. So we will hear the word of the Lord. This morning, we will reflect on the readings for today. So often we have the readings and we do not really link them together. So this morning we are going to reflect on the readings, especially the Old Testament, the Gospel, and the Epistle. But here is a thought for today. Do not put your trust in the abundance of earthly possessions. It is God alone who provides and gives us hope of eternal life. It is always good and a good thing for me to see the links in the lessons that are appointed for the day, which they are not always clear for us to see them, but some of them we can really see the real link between the Old Testament, the Epistle, and also between the Gospel. And so we want to think about them today. The Old Testament, the Epistle, and the Gospel readings for today all had much to say about the way most people make idols of material possessions that they acquired over the years into their adult life. As Christians, there are many questions we need to ask ourselves and to answer them as the Holy Spirit gives us guidance. And so our first reflection is on wealth creation. You remember last week we spoke a little on that same topic. Why wealth creation? So many persons in modern life spend all their life creating and creating wealth for themselves. They eat, they sleep, and they drink, and they awake with the thoughts and occupation about possessing and storing wealth and storing material that they are not able to enjoy the beautiful world in which we live. You realize that? That many of us, I know many people who work all their life trying to save and save and save. And just like the rich fool, the Lord said, tonight your soul is required. They're never able to enjoy all the things that they have stored up. They're not able to enjoy this beautiful world. And so it is so good that nowadays you find people are taking vacation trips, they are going on cruises, and they're staying in various parts of the world, which is very good. But we need to remember that there are many persons who are still creating wealth, storing up wealth, and they are not able to see this great Mother Earth in which God has placed us. And so in Jeremiah chapter 32, and you're following that story so clearly, I hope you did, we find that the story of Jeremiah helps us to think again, who do we listen to? in all our dealings with Christ, who do we listen to when we try to create wealth? We found that in the lesson that Jeremiah listened to God, the word of God. And we are told that if Jeremiah had bought that field for himself, remember that the uncle's son said, buy the field for yourself, you must buy the field. It would have not have been a profitable investment. And the Lord knew that he must not buy this field for himself. It would have been a waste. And so it was in keeping with the cultural tradition that some member of the family must possess the land. It must be kept in the family. But God spoke to Jeremiah not to buy it for himself. And so he used this as a sign of hope to show Jeremiah that there is hope, hope for his people. Hope because he knew what he was going to do when the people would go in exile. So we need to put God's command in our life first. Sometimes we pray to God and we ask God for such and such a thing. But we don't want to still listen to him and hear what he's saying. I know what I'm going to do. So we are putting God to the test. But God should put us to the test. And Jeremiah followed the word of the Lord. So when his cousin came to him, he bought the land. But he didn't purchase it for himself. And he was told to put the money that was sealed and the open deed, the deed for the property, was put in an earthen jar, which will stay there for many and many days. You know, some of our old people still have that idea. Some still don't believe in going to the bank. They like to put away their money and let it grow, stay there and grow. And so it was put there, but for a purpose. It was there for a purpose. For God promised that there will be houses and land and vineyards and everything will be back in this place, for this place belonged to my people. They will be taken away because of what they have done. But this place belonged to my people. So later, in the same chapter of Jeremiah 32, 27 verse, Jeremiah heard the word of the Lord saying, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. If we go on to read the rest of the verse, that was what it was saying from what was read this morning. There is nothing too hard for me to do. You may be taken all over the world, wherever they take you in exile. You're coming back to this land. There's nothing too hard that I cannot do. So that money was put there in safekeeping. That was the bank. It was there in safekeeping for when God was ready. So God's command must always take precedence over all our plans. You see, the city was given into the hands of the Chaldeans, right? They were taken away. Yet God instructed Jeremiah to buy the field before witnesses. This is something for us to know, and we do buying property or we are setting up your business. Make sure you do it before witnesses. Remember, it was a family who was selling it over to another family member. And I don't know for here, but I know sometime at home you get into trouble when you don't have papers to show or witnesses to show that you really bought that land. And there's lots of confusion going on in the world sometimes because of that. And so he had witnesses to show that he bought the field. You see, God will bring back his people to this place. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. That was what God was saying all the time. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. That is what God is saying to us here today. When you give yourself up in baptism, whatever church people belong to in the world. He's saying to you, you are my people. You're bought with a price. And I must be your God. And so we must show as Christians that we put God first. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18, the New International Version said, but remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Many people think that is, oh, it's by my skill, my academic ability. It's by my fame that I can buy property. No, God could take it away from you. And when disaster comes, people don't realize. It is God who gives you the skill, the ability to do all things in life. Blame Bartell. He is a youth pastor in America here and a motivational speaker. He laid down 7 rules for young people, but I'm going to tell you the last one. He said they, and that they mean parents and guardians, must teach their children to grow up financially self-sufficient. You must teach your children to grow up financially self-sufficient. And so in the Christian context, we too must be able to listen and to read God's word and to put Him first in our plans. Don't put Him last. Put Him first in your plans and listen to Him and wait for Him and to be obedient to His voice. So that's, in a nutshell, all about the Old Testament. And you can go and add more to it as you read it and understand God's holy word. Secondly, let us reflect on the parable of Jesus in Luke chapter 16, 19 through to 31, which also focused on the deceptiveness of wealth and the way rich persons allow their possessions to take control of their lives. They become neglectful, having no regard for the poor around them. I mean, we can think about it and see it happening to us in our own very life here. And this is really a dramatic story in Luke about Lazarus the beggar and the rich man, which is called Dives in Latin. Dives. Sometimes you wonder. I used to wonder as a kid when I heard the talk about Lazarus and the rich man, Dives. I said, I don't see Dives in the Bible. Looking up for it, and I never found out that Dives was not there. It was the Latin word for rich man, Dives. So the story is told about Lazarus and Dives. You see, it was the custom in that culture for persons who are rich and well off, and the poor people as well, but people who are rich and well off, to sit around their table with all kinds of goodies and food and so on, and they ate with their hands. They never ate with the forks and knives that we now have. They ate with their fingers, and they would eat and eat. And when they eat, what they would do? They had bread at the side of the table, which they would tear off and wipe their hands with it, wipe their mouths, and they throw it down for the dogs. And Lazarus was there waiting even to eat that. But the rich man did not see him. He saw that he can throw his food down to the rat, to the dogs. This man was very rich from the description of what he wore and how he feasted daily. The description said that he was a rich man who dressed himself in purple. But purple is really a sign of wealth, a sign of authority, a sign of who you are. You're dressed in rich purple clothes. nowadays, thanks be to God, that many persons can still wear a purple, whether they are rich or whether they are poor, because they are rich in the sight of the Lord. They are rich in the sight of the Lord. And so anybody can now go and buy a beautiful purple gown or dress and wear it. But in those days and in that culture, only the rich would wear the purple silk and so on. And so Lazarus was covered with sores and was waiting to eat bread. He felt that if he sat there at this rich man's table where he could see him, that he don't need to walk about, because what he had, he was sick. He had sores, he had ulcers. And you know what that is when you have ulcers, and so you can't go around. And they said it was so bad that even the dogs would come and lick them. So you can imagine how he was. But there he was waiting, who seemed to have been ignored by the rich man. This beggar man was ignored by him. But this man was, sometimes we ignore people who we see are poor because we think they can do better. Many of them can do better. So we pass them by. But this man was not that sort of person. He really was sick. He could not go out and work, for he was not strong and able to work for his own living. He was a beggar. He was full of sores. One comment that somebody wrote on it had a thought, and this thought was, wealth can make us complacent so that we fail to notice the needs of those around us. Wealth can make us complacent. You don't even know that it is happening. Don't see that it's happening, that there are other people who are suffering, because all your mind, you're occupied with what you're doing. Whether you're satisfied or you're not satisfied, you're so occupied that you don't want to notice what is happening around us. Our lack of compassion for those desperately in need of assistance will one day find us waiting and find us regretting the consequences of our downfall when earthly life is no more. And this was what happened to the rich man. He regretted what he had done. That is what it said. It is a disturbing situation in modern times that the gap between the rich and the poor is so wide that one feels it is so hard to know what to do. You ask the question, who has the face of Jesus? Who really is poor? Who really needs me to help them? Or who should one really help? You see so many things around you, so many persons look so poor and look so distressed. But we have to ask the Holy Spirit. We have to keep in touch with the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes when I give something at home, I say, you know why I give you? Not because you're begging me, but because the Spirit said to me, give it. Give it if you have it. Because sometimes you're really confused. So many are begging, you don't know which one to give. So you have to really ask for the guidance of God. Who has the face of Jesus? And he will guide us into all truth. Again, a comment is made by a writer. We are not to know when our opportunities for living thoughtfully and generously will run out. We are not going to know the day or the time when God is calling us home. So do what you can while you can. We have a saying, make hay while the sun shines. And so we have to do what we can. When Dives did not pay attention to have compassion for Lazarus, and so his time came to an end. While you are alive, do all the good you can. God has a purpose for you and for me and for all your possessions. Seek to do good while you live. And here is a story. I like to tell stories when I get a nice story so that you could take it home with you. Long ago, there was a wealthy, noble woman who had grown tired of life. She had everything one could wish for, except happiness and contentment. She said, "I am weary of life. I will go to the river and there end my life." As she walked along, she suddenly felt a little hand tugging at her skirts. Looking down, she saw a frail, hungry-looking little boy who pleaded, "There are six of us at home. There are six of us at home. We are dying for want of food." The noble woman thought, "Why should I not relieve this wretched family? I have the means, and it seems I will have no more use for the riches when I am gone." Following the little boy, she entered a scene of misery and sickness and want. She opened her purse and emptied its contents. The family members were beside themselves with joy and gratitude. Even more taken with their need, the noble woman said, "I'll return tomorrow, and I will share with you more of the good things which God has given to me in abundance." She left that scene of want and wretchedness, rejoicing that the child had found her. For the first time in her life, she understood the reason for her wealth. Never again did she think of ending her life. She was now filled with meaning and purpose. The greatest use of wealth is to give it away. Self-centeredness can never bring happiness. When we look to meeting the needs of others, we find soul satisfaction that all the wealth in the world can never give you. I'm going to try to end with the last, third reflection, and it's a call to obedience, and it's on the epistle. Paul's advice to Timothy is a new call for all of us to live in obedience to the will of God with regard to the use of our money. Many of our pitfalls in life can be attributed to our love and greed for more and more money. We become egotistic, selfish, complacent of greed. The lesson in Timothy 1, 6 through 19 can be divided into three sections with addresses of the problem of wealth. This I will comment on briefly and ask you to reflect on it at home. Oh, it's here. Thank you. Excuse me, I'm taking a little sip of this thing. Can't open this fancy box. Sorry about that. Yes, the lesson in Timothy has three sections. This I will comment on briefly and ask you to reflect on it at home. The first section is chapter 6 and the 10th verse. Explores the folly of those who desire wealth, and it falls into temptations which lead many into destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. The second section, 11 to 16, presents a positive challenge to Timothy, in contrast to the warning about wealth. Like Timothy, we as Christians must look to the virtues of our faith. We must, by our belief in God's guidance, resist the greed and the lust for wealth. Stand firm in your faith. Let faith, love, patience, gentleness be our guide as Christians. We always had the saying, godliness with contentment is great gain. For you are made happy in the Lord, for all the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. The third section, 17 to 19, addresses the way in which the wealthy need to live, so as not to be corrupted by their wealth. The word of the Lord command those who are wealthy to remain humble. Anything, no matter what position you're in, always remain humble. As Christians, that is what is expected of us. We must follow our master's command. Remain humble, and not to put our possessions before us, but to do all the good we can, and never grow weary of doing good. You know, sometimes you get tired. Tired doing this and tired doing it. But the Lord said, continue. So we continue in the name of the Lord. Never go weary in doing good. Always find those who are in need to share your wealth. We need as Christians to heed the advice of Paul to young Timothy about the love of money and to teach it to our children. Very critical. To teach it to our children and to our young adults to obtain their possessions honestly. I'm so amazed at the kind of things that our young people are doing nowadays. Conning people out of their monies, doing all sorts of things. Young people want to own 5 Benz. They want to have big houses, and they don't even work for it. No, we must teach our children. It is this generation must teach the next generation. So we must teach our children how to be satisfied with what they have, and how to use the possessions, because God gives to all of us according to what he thinks we should handle. But sometimes we go overboard. I want more, give me more. Like a child asking for something, and sweet that child, and he said, give me more, mommy, give me more, daddy. And you just keep giving. But you must have control and speak to your children and your young adults. And we do everything wisely, not to the glory of ourselves, but to the glory of God. So we must live our faith. We don't come here Sunday after Sunday. We must live our faith out in the world there. Let us lay hold on the goal that was set before us, which is, what is your goal? What is the goal that was set before us? John 3:16, let us repeat that. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave us the only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have. So what is your goal? To have everlasting life. We set out for that goal, and we must work towards it. To be in life with Jesus Christ. That's what he came to do for you and for me. Christ has won for us the victory over sin and death. Let us continue to grow and flourish in the name of the Lord. Let us continue to that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.